right, so we've finished up Sing Sing.
Yes, we're got free. Through all that marriage mess.
We're divorced.
We found a hot Yankee, all these things. That was a lot to go through.
It was, although the hot Yankee's already gone.
Yeah, he's gone.
So it's like we're starting the All That Glitters section.
Now, I was real excited to see what she was going to address about glitter in this book.
Mm-hmm.
So this was one of my most highly anticipated sections.
Yeah.
And she pretty much delivered. She gave us everything I wanted.
Yeah, because I think as a fan, you experienced it in real time.
Yeah.
But this was a little behind the scenes of what was really going on.
Yes, absolutely. Because I didn't know what was going on. I was sort of nervous. I was scared. I was like, girl.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot. The whole year of 2001 was a lot, I think, for everybody.
Yeah.
So, yes, it was a moment. I remember it.
Same.
No, for sure. We're going to get into it.
Vividly.
We're going to get into it. This week, we're going to do the first two chapters of this section, Firecracker and Resting in Pieces.
Mm-hmm.
These are good. And it gives us a little bit of backstory.
Yeah. Let's go back in time mentally.
Uh-huh.
So Rainbow was over.
Yes.
Rainbow Tour came and went.
Yes, we loved it.
Everything was great. We knew that the Sony contract was ending and she was out of there.
Yeah.
And then there was news that Glitter's coming. It's been filmed.
Like we
and
knew
stuff.
She was filming it.
Yeah, she was working on
uh-huh,
it.
Uh-huh.
And then it was announced that she has signed the biggest ever recording deal in the history of the world.
With Virgin
with
Records.
Virgin. Multiple. Big.
Huge.
Big.
Yeah.
I remember at the time what peeved me was it was just all about the dollar figure.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, okay, you're really hyping it up so much.
That it's like, I didn't even really pay attention to like dollar figures. I just want to know how many albums I'm getting from her.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
But I just remember it was like, because what was it? I swear it was like $110 million, $120 million.
I think it was 100, but I'd have to do my Googling. To
Yeah, we should have done that. But I just remember it was all about the money.
Yeah, well, that was every headline. Every headline of everything. Although I will say, you know, just a few moments ago, I said she discussed everything I wanted her to discuss.
Mm.
Actually, I lied.
Okay.
Because what about, do you remember the fiasco of how she had to get Glitter over to Virgin Records? Because I recall that
like started it on Sony.
She started recording it. She'd been working on the soundtrack for so long.
Yeah.
And she was recording it under the Sony Columbia label.
Mm.
And then I think she had to buy it from them in order to get out of the, this is what I recall.
Mm.
She had to buy it from them to get out of the contract.
Mm.
And then she brought that basically completed album to Virgin.
That could have happened, yeah.
I think that's how I remember it. But again, this is 20 years ago and I was like just a little baby gay. Uh-huh. What do I remember? So she doesn't really talk about any of that.
Right.
Last time we hear about her talking about anything about record labels was when she went and visited the president.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, what about the Glitter album? Where is that? Because she's already working on it. Because as we remember, Lead the Way, she wrote with Walter.
Right, that was the first song. Yeah, that was the first song recorded.
Right.
Wasn't it? For the Glitter soundtrack?
For the Glitter soundtrack, I guess. Even though she recorded it around the Butterfly time, I don't know if she was intending it for it to be on the Butterfly soundtrack or the Butterfly album.
Lead the Way.
So I feel like it would not have fit into that album.
No.
Gosh, no.
Maybe wherever you call is.
Maybe.
Like switch that out.
Yeah. I don't know. But that is still, so that's still a mystery to me. But everything else we pretty much get in these chapters. So thank you, Mariah. All right. So let's get started with Firecracker. And she sets the tone right here with the very first sentence. She says, the saga of making Glitter was a collision of bad luck, bad timing, and sabotage.
Yes.
I mean, it's the perfect way to sum up that whole era.
I know.
It really is.
Well, I remember wasn't Loverboy like delayed and delayed and delayed? I feel like everything was delayed.
I think there may have been a delay. I can't quite remember.
Because I remember talks of Sabotage.
I do remember a lot of sabotaging talks.
Uh-huh.
And this had to be probably early, like 2001.
Yeah.
Very early.
I still didn't put together, I don't think it was mentioned that it was Jennifer Lopez that was in on the sabotage-ation of it all. Because I didn't realize I'm Real and Firecracker were all connected to the Loverboy sabotage and at the time.
I think I agree with that.
Like, I remember there was a sabotage, but we didn't know
the specifics of it.
Exactly. Yes.
We didn't know the specifics
so
of it.
So she was saying it, and then we're like, and that's when Crazy Mariah started happening. Oh, she's crazy.
Yes.
Remember?
Mm-hmm. There was so much going on at that time.
Because there was no receipts. Because she was like saying someone's sabotaging her. They're trying to get her.
Right. And how she kept like wanting, because this sabotage had happened, she was now being really, really tight about all the music on
paranoid.
That.
Paranoid.
The glip. Yes.
Now she's paranoid.
And she wouldn't let anybody know the music. She wouldn't let anyone listen to it.
Yeah.
I even believe that she was purposefully leaking songs back in like the Napster days with Marianne's voice on it, thinking like she was imitating Mariah. So people think they have a Mariah song, but it's not a Mariah song. There was like a fake leaking.
To like throw them off.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Probably.
I believe it. That's what I recall.
Yeah.
So it's... You want to talk about, you know, craziness going on. This whole era starts crazy.
Yeah.
Like from the jump. But
literally. I'm just getting flashbacks to the whole time.
I know. And I'm thinking like, gosh, when do I even, did I hear Loverboy and then see the music video? Or was it the music video was the first time I heard the song? I can't recall.
Oh, I think I heard it first.
I think maybe I did too.
From Mariah Daly?
Maybe. I do remember that MTV did a whole behind the scenes making of the video for it.
Yes.
Like they did like a 10-minute or like a 5-minute segment on TRL every day.
Uh-huh.
And they showed a little behind the scenes. And then like on Friday, they are going to premiere the video. So it was like a week long thing.
Mm.
Like Mariah was getting promo, girl.
Mm-hmm.
She was out there working.
Mm-hmm.
Promotion all the way through. So... But she starts this chapter by talking about working on All That Glitters, the Glitter soundtrack, and she's been working on it basically since she was with her acting coach.
Right.
And they started writing it together.
Yeah. Oh, and so she talks about an acting coach in these chapters. Do you think it's the same one?
I think so.
Ah.
I think so. Well, she does say, where she talks about the acting coach, she says, in addition to a lack of creative control, I felt my acting was really inhibited for many reasons by the acting coach, who by this time, I believe, had become too invested in my career.
Mm.
And then it was very, she like refers to it as very Marilyn Monroe, Paula Strasberg-ish, because Paula Strasberg was Marilyn's acting coach.
Okay.
So there's a lot going on. And so like, this is definitely the same acting coach.
Mm-hmm.
Because by this time, it's a little too close.
Right. And I bet if you're the acting coach, all of a sudden you're Mariah Carey's acting coach.
I know, right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Everybody's out against Mariah to get something from her.
Yeah.
So he never fails. Here's the acting coach doing the same thing.
Mm.
So we know that the acting coach is putting herself in this situation, but we also know that the script for All That Glitters is getting rewritten, and Mariah can already tell that this is going in a direction she doesn't want to go.
Right. Well, so the original script, like she says, it was more gritty, the different characters, there's more adult-themed content in there. And she sees it getting changed and changed and changed. And the more you change it, the further away it gets from the original concept that you've envisioned.
Exactly. And Mariah even says she says here that it's set in New York City in the 80s, early 80s.
Like, right.
That is gritty.
And dirty.
It's dirty. Yeah. It's grimy. There's stuff going on. It's like real hardcore life.
Yeah.
And that definitely is not what glitter is when you watch the movie now.
Oh, totally.
It's like, it's so far from that.
Yeah.
So we have all of that going on.
Well, that just means she's in a struggle. She can't get her movie, the vision, executed.
Yeah.
There's other people involved.
Yeah.
And she's almost lost control of the whole project.
out of control, girl.
Yeah.
From the get-go. From mm-hmm. the get-go. Glitter is just out of control. It's just not going to go that way. She does, though, say that she does like working on the soundtrack. She's working with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. They're able to get her, you know, the original tracks for I Didn't Mean to Turn You On. Mm-hmm. She has Rick James working on the soundtrack. So mm-hmm. there are good things happening here.
Mm-hmm.
And Mariah does say she does like the soundtrack. And I always love the soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I was bin bopping always. From day one.
Yes. Oh, that yes. was the first thing we got before the movie. Am I right?
Yeah, we got the soundtrack before first. The movie, yeah.
Yeah, so
yeah we'll I like, was like, wait a minute, let me think, yeah. let me think.
We were like jamming out
yeah.
before it came
well,
out.
Well, yeah, because, the movie was supposed to come out August 31st in America.
Again, delay.
And it was delayed.
Uh-huh.
Because Mariah was in the spa.
Uh-huh.
And the soundtrack, I think... I don't remember when the soundtrack was originally supposed to be released.
I just remember it was all delayed. Everything
was
a mess.
Just all over the place.
Yeah. Nothing made sense. Like the release dates didn't make sense.
Yeah, it was a lot, but this is because she's on the new label.
Yes.
And
you can tell.
They don't know, even though they have other big name people like Lenny Kravitz and a Janet Jackson and stuff like that. Mm. They don't know how to deal with Mariah. She's too big. She's global. She's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You got to work with her. She's a whole different playing field.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
And think also Mariah has a whole new management team.
Right.
She's like completely, it's a whole new world. So things are a little rocky
mm-hmm.
in many ways, but we make it through. Also at this time, Mariah's also moving into her Tribeca apartment.
Right.
Because she can't get in on the Upper East Side.
It's a whole debacle.
Oh, girl.
Or on the Upper West Side, too.
It's crazy.
Isn't it? All over.
All over. She was trying to buy Barbara Streisand's apartment.
Yeah, so here in New York, when you go to buy a building, there's usually a co-op, like a mini government within the building.
Uh-huh.
With a panel of people, other residents that own properties, and they kind of decide who comes in and who can buy a place or not. And you almost have to have like a job interview with them.
Right.
Like you got to apply to buy the apartment. So obviously she's trying to get apartment and these co-ops like,
No.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Crazy.
I mean, if that there's undertones of racism right there.
Oh,
because
totally.
There's no reason why Mariah, who's the biggest star ever and clearly has the money for this,
mm-hmm.
that you would not approve her.
Exactly.
So what else could it be?
Yeah.
You know,
they said it. They didn't want the rappers partying all night. they straight up said it.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I would be like, tell me more about these parties, Mariah.
I know. I'd be like, can I get invited?
Yeah.
Girl? Shoot.
Anyway, so she's dealing with that too on the side, trying to find somewhere to live.
Right. So eventually, as we all know, she gets the apartment down in Tribeca
mm-hmm.
and she starts making that happen. So she's trying to get her first home together.
Yeah.
She's on a new record label. The first single is about to be released. She has to do all this promo. She's already working overtime.
Yeah. And she's realizing Tommy's still got his fingers in everything.
Right.
Still has power.
And he's out there behind her back doing all these things.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And we know because we've heard them. And even Mariah in the audiobook, she uses like clips from radio interviews from people who are like, yeah, Tommy Mottola came to me and he wanted to sabotage.
Yes.
Irv Gotti and all of that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
So we know it's true. I mean, I always believed it.
At the time. Okay. Here's like another thing. At the time, she was telling us Tommy is trying to sabotage. Again, crazy Mariah, paranoid.
I know.
Making stuff up.
I know, but I believed it. I did not believe it. I was like, girl, that sounds like what he's doing.
Yeah, but
sounds
that's
just about right.
But look at how instead of believing her, the press turned it against her.
Well, because now the press has something to go off of with her. Because remember, after the whole Butterfly album, she's now wild and crazy Mariah out there, you know, gallivanting in the streets, you know, showing so much skin. So she's a scandalous lady now.
Uh-huh.
You know, so they're taking and running with everything.
Well, even Wendy Williams said that when she was on the radio back in the day, Tommy Mottola came to her and said, I want you to talk shit about Mariah.
Yeah, of course.
And she was like,
there's
no.
There's a smear campaign out against her.
Uh-huh.
Could you imagine?
Yeah.
That, I mean, that is definitely like...
That's crazy. Tommy's the crazy one.
Tommy is the crazy one. Yeah. And Mariah has every right to be paranoid about what he's capable of doing because she knows that he has connections throughout the music business.
Yeah.
And so she's rightfully paranoid about that.
And Wendy had the balls to say no. Think of all the other radio DJs who don't have the balls. Didn't.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the other big thing that happens in the Firecracker chapter, of course, is the lead single. Lover Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all know how the story goes, that there was an original sample Mariah wanted to use called Firecracker, and that Tommy Mottola had taken that and given it to the J-Lo, and Mariah had to scramble and get a whole new thing made.
Fix the song. Redo it.
Right, because otherwise it would look like she's the one who's copying.
Right.
So... there she did. She came up with Loverboy and she got Candy, which I loved. And then the video all worked out. And then DeBrat was there singing her little verse.
Yeah, it came together.
It did.
But it just seemed like there was chaos behind it.
It was a little wild.
It was.
It was a little wild, I must say. But now looking back 20 years later and seeing for myself what the original Firecracker sample was, I prefer the Candy version of Loverboy. That's just me, though. But I think it's also because I've been, you know, listening to it for 20 years.
That too.
So I just have a nostalgic connection to it.
I've been jamming out to the Firecracker lately.
I love it. Don't get me wrong. I love it.
But glad, yay, we had the rarities so we can actually have a listen to it.
Exactly. Exactly. Uh-huh. And so as all this is going on, she has to scramble to get the Firecracker, the new Loverboy made. And the song comes out and it's not doing as well as it's...
it's just number two.
Right. Oh, God forbid. God forbid. Now, when you really think about number two, that's huge, especially back in these days, because to get number two, to get top 10, you're selling thousands and tons of records to get there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not streaming.
But this is the problem of that, the world's biggest record deal. It's like, okay, you just signed and took all this money. You're the number one lady.
Right.
And where are you, where's the number one?
Right. Where's the number one? We just put all this money in your pocket. You owe us something.
A number one.
Right.
Yeah.
But, and I will say, obviously, Mariah's 10 years into her career and she, all of her lead singles have all gone number one. Obviously, multiple singles at number one by this point. She's, you know, the solo artist with the most number ones.
Yeah.
So for a song to peak at number two is a little bit of a letdown, but also this was a concept soundtrack thing. It wasn't a typical Mariah record. Even though I love the song and I bought like 100 copies of it and handed them out on the streets as a good lamb would do, it stalled at number two. But that's okay. But now you have the paranoia of Tommy smearing you.
Yeah.
You don't have, you know, the level of success that you normally have. I mean, here's the thing. Mariah set the bar real high with her career. Like, girl, you like stratosphere huge. So it's almost like living up to your own self. Like, that's an unrealistic expectation.
That too, but she has to prove that she can be successful without Tommy as well.
Right, right. And so she knows that, like, by her only hitting number two, Tommy's at home laughing at her. Like, haha, I told you.
His plan worked. Right. Sabotage.
Ooh. There's a lot going on. Poor Mariah.
Ugh, I know. So, well, that's basically what Firecracker's about. Like, it's about Tommy getting interfering.
Yeah.
The song getting sabotaged. And it just seems like the cracks are starting to happen in the whole glitter movement.
It's all starting to be a mess.
Yeah.
So that's Firecracker.
And we're just freshly divorced. Like, she can't get her things in order.
Yeah.
Life-wise,
and there's
music-wise.
A lot going on here as well. You know what I mean? Like, in the year 2000, you know, the year leading up to the lead single Loverboy, she's doing the tour. She's getting the new apartment. She's getting a whole management team together. She's recording the Glitter soundtrack. She's writing the movie. She's already overworked, and that's before Loverboy even comes out. So that summer of 2001, when Loverboy finally hits, and it's only number two, it's sort of like a disappointment.
Yeah.
In many ways.
Yes.
But really it's not, because that's like hugely successful.
Right.
I want a number two single.
Anybody else, it's a huge success.
Yeah. Like Celine Dion would be like running naked in the streets if she got a number two. Allegedly. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. It just was a rough start.
It was a rough start. She's doing a lot here. But that was what leads us into the next chapter, Resting in Pieces.
The wheels come off.
Where it's really getting too much and she's overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody would be. This is just keeping up to a level of work and a standard that is just not acceptable for anybody. Mm-hmm. No one would be able to do it.
And unheard of at the time.
Right.
So, okay, so basically Resting in Pieces, she kind of lays out how grueling the workload was trying to get glitter out and publicizing it all.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like one of, when this whole thing happened in real time, that was her biggest message afterwards, saying, I wasn't getting sleep, I wasn't getting enough rest, they weren't treating me like a person, more like a machine or a robot that they can just do whatever they want to.
Mm-hmm.
And she kept saying, I didn't sleep for like a week.
And that's crazy.
Crazy. Nobody believed it. It was unbelievable.
You know what? I do believe it, because if I don't get 8 hours of sleep a night, I'm not functioning properly the next day.
No, I believe it. So it just sounds like
I can't even imagine not sleeping for days.
Yeah.
You know, or just taking like a nap here and there. Like that's just,
mm-hmm.
girl, I love sleep too much.
Mm-hmm.
But she says on page 235 in Resting in Pieces, she says, high anxiety made what little sleep was allotted for in my schedule nearly impossible. I couldn't go to sleep. I couldn't find my things. I couldn't even seem to get anyone to pull it together.
Mm.
So it's just a mess all the way around.
Yeah. No one's in charge.
Yeah.
Because again, who's doing the scheduling? Who's looking at a schedule going, okay, book her for this video, this interview, here, and not thinking, okay, has she eaten?
Yeah.
Is she getting any sleep?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who is doing that kind of scheduling?
I think it's coming from the label.
Yeah.
I really don't know, but I think it's coming from the label. But because all of this stuff is going on, Mariah's like, I need to go out and let me do something fun and festive. And she goes over to TRL.
Well, because Loverboy's struggling.
Yes.
At number two.
She wants to make an appearance. Yeah. And like, because TRL was like where it's at back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Music videos, like, you know how people watch the music videos on YouTube nowadays?
Mm-hmm.
Back then, you watched it on TRL.
Mm-hmm.
And you called up and you voted from your little home phone.
Uh-huh.
And you would be like, oh, I want to listen to a Loverboy, and press 2 for Loverboy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, girl, I'd be voting. And that's how you got up there. And you got like that was the promotion you needed. Now, Mariah, because the first time I ever went here to New York was when Mariah was doing Loverboy. She did a whole thing with TRL before this fiasco with Carson Daly.
Mm.
She had went the month prior in June to give away the Loverboy car on TRL. They did a whole 2-hour special or hour and a half special with Mariah.
Mm-hmm.
And she was there doing the countdown and all of this stuff. She was trying to get the promotion. She's giving away cars.
Yeah.
Like, I want the Loverboy car. But anyway, so that was in June.
Right.
And then by July,
she has to do something else.
She has to do more because it's just it's not budging.
Yeah, and usually all that kind of stuff is pre-planned months and months in advance. So now she has to go on TRL and just think of something quick.
So when I went to TRL in June to see Mariah, she seemed perfectly fine to me.
Uh-huh.
Now, also what she doesn't write in this book, okay, here's another thing she doesn't write about. She's doing, she's also filming Wise Girls.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she doesn't mention that, but she also is acting up over there and doing that whole thing with Rachel in Staten Island.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that happening as well.
Yes.
And then she comes to TRL. She's perfectly normal. There's no indication that she's like not sleeping properly. But just 4 weeks later on TRL, she's with Carson Daly pushing the ice cream cart.
Mm.
And girl, we know what happened there.
Iconic television.
It is iconic television. Now, do you remember watching that or like seeing what was happening? What did you think?
Well, I didn't watch it in real time. I was watching it post when it was like, Mariah's gone crazy.
Stripping on TRL.
Yeah, so I was watching it. I was like, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah. I think that's where I first heard it as well. I remember friends calling me and being like, oh, Mariah's on TRL. And I was like, what? Because it was a surprise nobody knew.
Right.
So I was like, oh my gosh. So I missed like the more like, you know, stripping parts of it. By the time I got to MTV, it was just, she was reading a note from Patricia to Carson. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that interesting too, that she like, Patricia wrote a letter to Carson?
I know.
Like, what is going on here?
I don't know.
It's crazy.
I mean, it was a bit loopy. The whole thing?
It definitely was. But it was also fun. Like, Mariah, I see, like, I get the whole overall aspect of it.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's cute. It's kitschy.
And she wasn't stripping.
No, clearly not.
Uh-huh.
And even if she was, let the woman do what she wants.
Yes.
And she even says this in the book. She's like, there's no way that was a surprise. Like, everybody knew I was there.
You have to know.
So like, when people were saying Mariah's doing all this stuff and nobody knew about it, girl, yes, she knew. Where do you think she got the ice cream cart?
Yeah, with stickers on it.
Right? Like, obviously everyone at MTV knows she's there. Just the viewers at home don't know.
Right.
That made me real mad because I'm like, how could you really think that Mariah is going to just show up at TRL and no one knows?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knew.
But that was the moment, really, in the public eye.
Yeah.
Where it was like, official, Mariah's lost it.
And now it's a big feeding frenzy. Mm-hmm. And now all the papers and tabloids are all talking about her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not adding anything good to the situation. Mariah's already overworked. And Mariah is used to the public liking her.
Yeah.
There's never been like crazy times other than after she left Tommy,
mm-hmm.
where they started talking about she's dating everybody on earth and blah, blah, blah. But this was even like 100 times worse.
Than, out for blood. In this.
Yeah. They were really coming for her.
Mm-hmm.
Unnecessarily.
Yeah, well, that's the effect that Tommy had had.
Yeah.
He was able to pull it off and get them to talk like that.
Because he knows who to talk to. He knows who to talk to.
Uh-huh.
So Mariah overall says TRL was a stunt gone awry. And it really was a stunt gone awry. It could have been a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
But Mariah was doing what she had to do. She was working, girl.
Right. So as we progress into the chapter, so we get into her actually having a physical breakdown, I guess.
Yeah.
Because so she says, this is where the scheduling issues come in. She's just done the Loverboy video. They want her to go do a video the very next day for Never Too Far.
Mm-hmm.
She's saying, why do I need to do a video? We already have that filmed.
Right.
Like, what's the point of that? And she's had enough.
She needs to go to sleep.
Yeah.
She needs rest. She needs, give this woman a week off.
I know.
Because she's out here doing so much promotion for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you tally up all the major things that she's doing, filming a movie, promoting a soundtrack, making music videos, all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. That's a lot of work. That's 24/7 work.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can do that. That's not right.
So she talks about how she couldn't even go to her own apartment to get rest.
Mm-hmm.
Like the label was hounding her so much.
Yeah. Calling her, all of this.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
Imagine.
I mean, I guess that's the way Virgin was running the show back then, but
I guess when you pay that much, when you pay that much money, she obviously felt obliged to do everything they said.
Yeah.
As well.
Well, I also, I remember there was an interview Mariah did during the filming of Loverboy for like Access Hollywood or something. And I remember her on the set of Loverboy and she says, you know, I just want to keep working and, you know, make music and do all this stuff. I don't ever want the rug to be pulled out from under me.
Mm-hmm.
So she's just making sure that she has her bag, that uh-huh. she's good. And so she thinks that working is going to do that.
Yeah.
But it all just goes awry.
And remember when she was on Oprah, she said she had to learn how to say no.
Right.
She's saying yes to all these things.
She's afraid if she says no,
uh-huh.
that something's going to happen and someone's going to be mad at her. She's going to upset somebody because, right. you know, she couldn't say no when she was over there with Tommy.
Uh-huh.
So she's not used to saying no. She's a people pleaser.
Mm-hmm.
So she says, I had to find a safe place. I had to find sleep. Who could I trust? No one working for me was going to help me find somewhere to go. All I was asking for was a little bit of time. So she ends up going to the hotel across the street or down the street from her new penthouse in Tribeca.
Isn't that wild? You have a new penthouse in Tribeca,
right?
And you have to run away from it?
You can't like, hello, come on, people.
Yeah.
But Mariah's also coming from living in hotels for so long. So to her, it's probably just like nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But she goes there by herself, shuts everything off. And then what happens?
Well, so don't forget, like, you know, when sometimes you're so tired, you haven't slept, you just don't feel good. You feel kind of sick.
Yeah.
Physically sick.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're so tired, you can't sleep.
I mean, I try not to get there, girl.
Yeah, I know.
But I can understand how it happens.
Uh-huh.
So she goes to this hotel and hears people banging on her door.
She can't catch a break.
Never. And she was like, so she gets up, she answers the door, and sure enough, it's the whole crew.
The whole gang.
They're all there.
Siblings.
Family included. Like, where did y'all come from? Oh my God, I would have been like, uh-uh. I would have shut the door on all of them. Like, get out of here.
Well, I think also at this point, there are actual headlines like Crazy Mariah, Crazy Mariah. So they're probably all on alert.
True.
Where's Mariah?
True. Because the other thing, like when Mariah did that in-store Loverboy CD signing, she was talking to the press outside and there was like the big Cindy Berger fiasco and all of that.
More iconic television.
So it's like, oh, the press has just eaten this up.
Oh, yeah. When the headline of like, Mariah's manager takes the microphone away.
Right,
like
right.
All of that.
And then we had like Howard Stern was out there talking. Just everybody was talking.
Yeah.
And Mariah couldn't say anything and blah, blah, blah. So it's probably all around that same time.
Mm.
And she's leaving like these cryptic voice messages that
on the website
that like are just so out of left field for the general public.
Yeah.
Like we as fans sort of understood. I mean, I was, when she was like, I have to shut everything down, I was like, girl, what are you talking about?
Uh-huh.
I was like, no, you can't stop making music, girl. Please, yeah, yeah. You could take a break.
Yeah.
But like, those are all these little things keep piling up in the public eye.
And right.
The tabloids are just running with it.
And she pointed out, because she had been leaving those voicemails on the website. Again, we don't know how she did it. Back, it was very high tech back in the day.
I know, it's like, how does this happen?
But we were used to it. Every now and then she'll leave a voicemail. So I guess in this moment, Joe Schmoes is hearing about this. Like,
right.
She leaves
right,
a voicemail right. on the website? What?
Yeah. Like, we've been knowing the voicemails.
Uh-huh.
We know what it is, but no one else did.
Yeah.
Crazy times. Here's Mariah ahead of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Social media through the MariahCarey.com, girl. You had to, like, wait for it to load.
Uh-huh. That
you
little window popped up.
Uh-huh. Oh, those were the days. All right. So she sees that the whole crew is there and she is upset. She's like, leave me alone, blah, blah, blah. She starts popping off on these people, screaming and yelling, get out of here.
Yeah.
I want to go to sleep. And it's Morgan who sort of like calms her down for a moment uh-huh. by talking about Roy Boys
right.
at birthday parties or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And so she is feeling some sort of calm security in that moment.
It sounds like she is kind of losing control of everything.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, even like who to trust and what are these people doing here.
Mm-hmm.
Like nothing.
Yeah. And of course, like when you're going through these hard times, you want someone close, your family, your brother, to be able to be there and to help you. And so she was probably like she always does. She's like, all right, you know, let my family, you know, maybe they could help me. I don't know what she's thinking. But here goes. Here's Morgan inching in on Mariah at her when she's vulnerable.
Yeah. And to her point, here she is, just signed this huge multi-million dollar contract, and here they are.
Of course. When the money when the money is being talked about, they're coming. They're showing up. So anyways, what happens is he calms her down, but Mariah's also like, I want to get away for a little bit, and she goes out to Brooklyn with Marianne.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very interesting because I'm thinking, I mean, interesting in terms of like she has to go so far away, but I'm thinking, where is everybody else? Where are her other close friends?
Yeah.
Where's Rachel? Where's Louise McNally? Where is anybody else?
Because I'm just thinking, right, you could have called me. I would have locked the door.
I would have got him out of there for you. Yeah. I would have been like, y'all going home. I'm calling the police.
Yes.
Bye. You know what I mean? So, like, I just can't believe that there's, like, only one person, Marianne, who's really there for her. I feel like there has to be other people. Where are they?
But how come there's nobody that she can go, yo, I haven't slept in 3 days. Can you just, like, lock, make sure no one comes in here?
Yeah.
And then they go, oh, damn, that's effed up. Let me lock, I'll stand out the front of the door, go get some sleep.
Yeah.
Like, who is that person?
Like, where's your good girlfriend?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Marianne was there for her. But like that should be like closer than Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Did she even get sleep at Marianne's?
I don't think so. Because like they went for a walk in the streets. Although I do want that butterfly tour t-shirt. I was like, where'd she get that from? Because they did not sell those in America because she did not come here. But I guess Marianne's niece, I guess it was. She was like, okay, maybe they know somebody.
But at the same time, like, okay, if you want to be incognito, I don't think wearing your own t-shirt is a good idea.
I know, right? But it seemed to work. I guess she got, you know,
a stroll
around the blocks.
But at this point, it feels so frustrating because it feels like she hasn't slept or eaten anything.
Right?
It's like, oh my gosh.
I also wonder, like, you probably have no appetite.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're getting hungry.
Right.
So eating definitely is not helping.
Yeah.
The appetite is suppressed through all this stress.
It's probably just like being really jet lagged. You're just totally exhausted. Your body doesn't know what's going on.
It's not right.
Yeah.
It's way out of control for the human body. But, okay, so this is what then happens. Then Mariah gives us a little bit of a flashback.
Yeah. Okay. This was
a little juicy.
Very.
Girl, I was unexpected. Like, So Morgan has sort of stepped in, helped calm her down in this moment, but then she's remembering back when she first signed her first record deal.
Right.
And she has mom and brother bring her like, oh, come on. Yeah, let's celebrate.
Let's go to the shack and have a splash. I was going to say, I guess there was no other option. let's go to the shack.
That's where they go. And what goes down at the shack is wild.
I know.
It doesn't surprise me, but it's wild.
I know. So I guess Pat is still married to this man who was trying to sue Mariah for the doll.
Yes, or something. Yes,
And they're worried he's going to spill the family secrets. Not Mariah's secrets, the family secrets.
Right, but what are the big family secrets, though? I guess
I think Allison.
But I feel like at that point, we already knew that Allison was wild.
But in those days, in the press, that's like, it was shocking.
I mean, yeah, you're right. The press would eat anything up at this point. Uh-huh. They'll rehash old stories and everything. So, yeah.
Wasn't like one of the early headlines, Mariah's sister pays for her demo tape with prostitution money?
Yes, remember that one? Uh-huh. Definitely.
Like they were looking for that kind of stuff.
For sure.
Yeah.
But it was, but Morgan did pay for some of her early demo work.
Right.
Which is cool and great and fine.
She paid him back.
Yeah, 50 times over.
Enough, yeah.
So he could stop
hounding
her. But okay, so here's the real tea, that he was in a murder for hire plan.
Allegedly, yes.
Allegedly. Yes, yes. I know nothing.
I tried Googling, I couldn't find anything.
You didn't find? Oh, I didn't Google because I was like, girl, if I go down that rabbit hole, I'll never come out.
I was going to ask you to go in.
No, because you know I love my murder mysteries.
Because I hit the wall. I was like, maybe Dan knows how to get through this.
No, I did not do it because this was enough for me here. I was like, oh my goodness, the scandalation. Okay, so when Mariah's young, Morgan is in this whole scheme of plotting for this murder, and now he wants to do it to the stepdad.
I know. And Mariah has to pay for it.
Right? What would you do? I would be like, are you crazy?
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
She's the one getting called crazy, but look what's going on.
Exactly. No, y'all want crazy. I'll show you crazy.
Yeah.
And here all the while, Patricia is just doing what Patricia does.
Mm-hmm. Sitting
in the background.
Yeah.
Like, girl, somebody has to have control of this family.
Right.
Like, get your son in check. Like, the way that, like, Patricia would just go along with this plan?
Yeah.
Outrageous.
She was down for it.
I cannot believe her. I cannot believe her. Oh, my Lord.
Meanwhile, imagine the headline when Morgan gets caught for murdering the man, and it's like Mariah Carey paid for it with her first record deal.
Right. Oh, man.
That would have been the end of her.
It would have been the end. Oh, that would have been the headline that really ended it.
Yeah.
That would have been all of it.
And she'd be in jail.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. She says, I looked over at my mother, hoping to get some clarity. She just kept her eyes fixed on Morgan, who had obviously convinced her to let him run the show.
Mm.
Girl, Patricia's out of control. Absolutely out of control.
Right, but already day one of Mariah's new record deal and her dreams coming true, they want money.
Yeah. She then goes on to say, tragically, I wasn't surprised Morgan had begun to try and screw a siphon hose into me right away. But what got me to my feet and blew my mind was that my mother was going right along with it. Man. Man, that's a lot. That is a lot to deal with. Like, look at, girl, from Allison calling Mariah on her phone line as a kid, mm-hmm. and now the mother's trying to get you involved in a plot for high murder.
I know.
I'm just like, wild.
Madness.
Absolute madness.
It's just like she can't escape it.
It never ends. It never ends. Uh-huh. It's always one thing or another.
Anyway, so that was her first experience with Morgan and the record deal. So now here we are again in the future.
The next record deal, here they are again. Uh-huh. Here they are again. So like he makes it look like he's there because I'm here to help you.
We need to take care of this.
Mm-hmm. But he has his hands are all mixed up in it. Mm. Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
So we come back to current day, and then here's Morgan comes over to Tot's house and picks up Mariah, and they are going to go up to Patricia's.
Mm-hmm.
And Mariah thinks, all right, I guess I can go up there. I can get some rest. I can get away from everything.
She knows the house.
Right. You know, she'll be able to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Her nephews will be there, or at least the younger one.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be a moment.
Yeah.
But Mariah is so sleep deprived, she does not realize that that is a bad mistake.
Right.
But we're going to find out.
But it also seems like she has no other options.
She can't go to the hotel.
No.
She can't go to her own home.
No.
She can't stay at Tot's.
No, and already this is also like the beginning of the air quote breakdown, so the press are looking for her too.
Mm-hmm. They're hunting her.
Yeah.
Very much so. Another quick little thing before we wrap up this episode is Mariah talks about the press hunting her for this whole like glitter fiasco and this whole breakdown stuff, very much like Princess Diana.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Mariah talks about the time that she met Princess Diana.
I didn't know that happened.
I was like, ooh, ah. And then I was like, oh, maybe they have I was like, I can't believe they don't have any pictures together.
I think it wasn't, they didn't
they weren't together. They didn't they actually just, meet. They just saw. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Do you think Princess Diana knew her?
Oh, for sure.
Do you think they waved at each other?
Well, they made eye contact, but like everybody listened to Mariah Carey. So, you know, Princess Diana was listening to Always Be My Baby. You know she was.
Yeah.
So it's just like, that's another moment that's very similar to the Tupac moment, where it's just a glance, but you make enough of a connection that it's like, it's monumental.
Yeah.
So I love that little tidbit too.
Uh-huh.
But the way the press was hounding Mariah was very similar to what they did to Princess Diana.
Mm.
It's outrageously crazy.
Mm-hmm. And it was such a big story too at the time that the press get paid.
Oh, yeah.
They want to catch that photo.
Oh, they want it. Well, we're going to talk about the time that they did catch the photo after Mariah visits the spa and everything in our next episode. But for now, that is the start, and that's where we're at in the All That Glitters.
So the wheels have totally come off, project-wise,
and now
physically.
The family is involved, and you know once the family gets involved, it's not going to be good.
Right.
So we are going to continue it next time for you guys.
It's almost like being back at the beginning of the book with the family madness.
I know, right? It's just like every the cycle other came back day, around. There's something new happening here.
Yeah.
But that's the way the Carey family works.
I guess.
Okay. All right, guys. We will wrap it up for this week, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.